Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
You got these lines down so well that we're about to go into some lines that you have been using, gosh, how far back does it go? A year and a half, maybe? I don't know. But anyway, our very first sponsor on Rainer on Leadership and our only continuous sponsor has been Vander Blumen Search Group. And guess who we have as our guest today?
The one and only.
The one and only.
William Vander Blumen.
William Vander Blumen, Mr. Search himself. Welcome, William.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Really an honor to be on your show.
Hey, I tell you what, we talk about you all the time. Jonathan and I were just doing a Church Answers video coaching, and I probably had 12 to 15 guys on, and you always become the subject. I don't know why, but you all, and when it was all said and done, two of them needed this book that I have in my hands, Search, by William Vander Blumen, and we'll be talking about that as well. Incredible book, great resource. And so it's just like you come up again and again and again. So we appreciate your ministry. We appreciate you. You're a visionary, man. You just moved into a new place, and you're really one of the first to put your toes in this type of ministry, this type of business, but ministry above all. But William, before I hear your background, we really don't need to omit the sponsor of this show, and so I want Jonathan to tell us who our sponsor is.
Today, our sponsor, as always, is Vander Blumen Search Group, the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
I can say that in my sleep.
I think I have said it in my sleep.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, back to where we were, William. Give us a little bit of the background and how Vander Blumen Search Group got started. Give us a little bit about your background.
Sure, sure. I was a kid that was always finding some entrepreneurial idea, whether it was I bought up all the paperboy routes around me and then realigned them so it was more profitable and sold off the ones that I didn't want anymore. And, you know, so I've always had this spirit to build things and do good things. And then I went to college, and if you went to Wake Forest, I was class of 92. If you were a Christian while you were there, we never met. Because I was not a good guy and had a very sudden conversion, for me, it was a dramatic turnaround where Jesus got really personal for me in my life, and that led to a call to ministry, and I served in the Presbyterian Church, which is where I grew up, for about 15 years, and frankly, I loved the Lord and loved doing His work, but really was probably a little too entrepreneurial for a whole lot of churches,
right.
And so long story short, ended up in the corporate world. And while I was there, I was at a Fortune 200 company helping them with their succession planning and who fits culturally and that sort of thing. And I noticed the church I went to last, which was a fairly good-sized church in Houston, First Presbyterian, they took almost 3 years to find me.
Wow.
I was there not quite 6 years, and then they took about 2.5 years to find the guy after me.
Equal time. Totally.
Well, pretty close. It's pretty close to saying six on, six off. So
in a 12-year period, they only had a pastor for about half of that.
Well, and that'd be people who liked me would say that. Some people who didn't would say we had a pastor less than 6 years. But
no, we know that's
great,
not the case.
Great people, great church. But that wasn't abnormal for a large church in a big denomination. So while I'm at this Fortune 200 company, they go through a succession plan. And they've been talking about it a little bit, but the functional succession plan and search and execution was about 90 or 120 days. And this was a company that had a larger market cap than Starbucks.
Wow.
The guy that had been there 15 years. Average lifespan of a Fortune 500 CEO is, some will say 3 years, some will say five, but he'd been there about 15. And the guy they put in after him is still there 9 years later.
Wow.
And that was a 120-day search max. And I thought, my goodness, why does the business world have a better solution than the church?
Mm.
And that started a long process of trying to learn how to do search the right way through corporate training.
Right.
And then applying my love for and some experience with the church. And started on a card table with my life savings. Adrian and I had just gotten married. We'd just bought a house, and I said, I think I need to quit my job and try something new for churches, because churches love new ideas, right?
yeah.
But that was 8 years ago now, and now we're very blessed to have served about 900 different churches now, and we have a staff of right at 40 people that come from a lot of different denominations, all shapes and sizes of churches, and that was sort of the beginning of thinking about this book, and you guys were the people with the idea for the book, said, you know, there really isn't a good search committee handbook, and asked if we'd think about writing it, and we were so honored to get to help, and hope it helps a lot of churches.
It's already helped a lot of churches. I told you off air before this podcast that we're already seeing a demand for the book. And another thing, William, just as recently as a coaching call I just did a little while ago, I said that what I call supplemental search is one of the trends in the American church today. And when I refer to supplemental search, what I mean is you work with whatever existing organization is there. You could replace them, but most of the time you are supplementing what is already there and providing the expertise. And I think that is one of the most vital and needed things in church life today. It is a terrible stewardship, the amount of time that we are spending in the search process, not just for the pastor, but for all kinds of staff positions. I know you do a lot of nonprofit, and you do the staff as church staff as well. And so let me segue into this one. What is the state of, for lack of better words, the search industry, particularly in Christian life?
Yeah, well, the search industry in the corporate world is a different story, but in the church world, it was a fairly new idea. There'd been some people doing things here and there, but nobody really said, what would happen if we took... So I learned search from a guy who'd been a consultant with a firm called Russell Reynolds.
Okay.
They're about four global leaders in search, and Russ Reynolds' firm was the very first one. So I've learned, hopefully, the right way. And nobody had ever tried to apply that full, like, tour guide or Sherpa or, you know, kind of supplemental role to a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I can walk you through this. And so when we started in 2008, I remember I was so happy when we got our first church that said, we want to work with you. We came home, I bought steak. It was big.
Yeah.
It was cheap steak, but it was steak. And and the churches that would call us would say, you know, we've been looking for a year, and we thought we had it solved, but our guy just backed out, and now we don't know what to do. So it's like they'd been banging their head against the wall for a long time, and they're realizing the wall isn't going to move.
Mm.
And if you fast forward to now, to kind of give you the state of search, now the more common call for us is the chair of the board of deacons or elders or whatever the governance is for the church. In some cases, the vestry, if you can imagine, Anglicans call us.
Yeah, I can.
So the chair of the board says, okay, our pastor's leaving, or he's about to leave, or he's going to retire in 2 or 3 years. Can you advise us along the way? Can you help us form the search committee? Can you not name the names, but help us understand what roles ought to be in place, particular to our context, and walk alongside us all the way? So I think it's becoming, I don't want to be, you know, haughty or prideful, but I think it's becoming a more normal and accepted thing in the church world. So we've seen every year 50% year-over-year growth, which gets harder as you get bigger. But we
That's
really
incredible.
Think, yeah, and when I first got busy enough to have to hire somebody, I went off on a prayer retreat. A mentor of mine said to me, William, you need to decide what the Lord's calling you to. Is he calling you to be a one-man boutique where there's a line out the door and you just help the ones you can, or is he calling you to build a big thing? There probably won't be a middle ground. So Adrian and I prayed and fasted and really spent some time seeking the Lord's face on this, and came back saying, well, we don't want to be proud, but it feels like God needs a big solution for the Big C church.
Yeah.
And so that's what we set out to do. And now 100 denominations in and all different shapes and sizes, we're starting to scratch the surface of what I think could be a cool way the Lord provides a big solution for the Big C church.
We're seeing it, William. We're seeing it. And I am just excited that we are partnering with you in this way to be able to view what's going on, because whenever we talk about VSG or Vander Blumen Search Group, we learn new things from those whom you are partnering with, and it's a great thing. Jonathan, you had a question.
We talked a little bit about churches. Let's shift over to the pastor side. What are some of the common mistakes you're seeing pastors make while either in a search or wanting to be in a search?
Yeah, that's it. Well, okay, so first of all, on Monday, don't quit.
Yes.
Like,
have a job.
If we look at the number of people, so most people that come to us are like, hey, I'm not really out of work. I don't have to leave where I am, but I'm thinking that the time might be coming. So can you keep my name on file and my information? That's the most normal way. And that happens anywhere from 600 to 700 times a week.
Wow.
It's pretty, and part of that is pastors don't have anybody to talk to.
Yes.
Even lonely people. I mean, if this search thing folds up, we're going to start a counseling firm for pastors, because the poor guys just don't have anybody to talk to.
That's so true.
And we found that the vast majority of the people that call us on Monday. They've just gotten, they put their life out on the platform or stage or pulpit or whatever their church calls that thing they preach from. And then they got an email about a dangling participle or a split infinitive or a fact that wasn't quite right, or they get kicked around at a meeting that night. And it's just hard to get through Monday. So, Jonathan, probably the biggest mistake I see is guys give up right before they should.
Good. And related to that, William, would you also say that it's easier to find a church if you have a church?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I made a big, bold promise to the Lord when I started this work, and I said, I will never. And I think God has a core of angels that write down every time I say, I will never, just to kind of keep record. But I will never place a pastor at a church who's unemployed. Well, that doesn't work. Pastors are strange. Sometimes the Lord calls you away from things before you have something else.
Right.
But most of the time, I say at least have a job.
Yes.
If you had a, you know, you might have gone to a church that frankly was just mean and ran you out and might not have been your fault. Don't sit around unemployed. Go work at Starbucks. Go work somewhere. Give me something to work with that shows that you've got initiative and you're not just going to sit and wait on a handout.
Or possibly volunteer at another church in the area.
Absolutely. Really wise counsel. Yes.
Get that on your resume that you're on staff, even if you're not in the midst of a paid vocational job.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the church side just a moment. What are some of the big no-nos that churches are doing in the search process? I know one of them. They're not calling you all the time.
I think one of the things they don't think through is right at the beginning, and it's, do we need a search committee? And if so, who's on it?
Okay.
And when I say, do we need a search committee? Yeah, you need a search committee. But too many times I see churches where they've got a board that is fairly high control, which is not a bad thing. That's one model of doing church.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll delegate the search to a committee, and the committee has to bring 3 or 4 names back to the board, who then essentially redo the search. And that doesn't work. You're not going to draw a good candidate who's going to walk through fire twice.
Right, right.
So, you know, I think that's one thing that churches have to get their hands around. Maybe at that case, the board just needs to be the search committee, if that's really what needs. But if it's a board that can delegate, then you've got to really understand the search committee you elect. I don't care what your polity is. You can be an Anglican working with a bishop. You can be a very congregational church in New England that votes on the color carpet on a congregational vote. Whatever your polity, when you elect a search committee, you're functionally picking the person who's going to pick the next pastor.
All right.
The group of people, because they're going to nominate one person to the church. And if that person gets a no vote, well, then they've done a really bad job. But unless they do a really bad job, you're going to vote yes for whoever they are. So think very carefully about that. And then if I can go just a step further with that.
Sure.
Probably the biggest mistake I see, and I made it as a young pastor, and I think it falls under the heading of, what's that scripture verse that says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it's a way that ends in death. Well, this is one for search, and it goes like this. You know, old Jonathan, he's such a curmudgeon. He votes against everything in our church. He voted against the carpet. He voted against the second coming of Jesus.
Mm.
So Jonathan is just a curmudgeon.
He is.
What we ought to do is put him on the search committee so that when we pick the pastor, he's going to have to live with that decision and support that pastor. that, you know, Tom, in my experience, that has worked out of about 1,000 searches, that has worked out about zero times. So
the curmudgeon remains a curmudgeon on the search committee and yes, creates all kinds of problems,
including negativity to try and turn them positive, never works.
Wow. That is. All right. Here's a scenario that I see in my contact with pastors, and not nearly as much with search committees as you, but in somewhat. The search committee announces that there is an opening. Word travels, and all of a sudden the search committee has 50, 75, 100 resumes, unsolicited for the most part, and yet they will end up spending months, and even sometimes a year plus, and they'll go through all of them, and they won't find a candidate that they are willing to present. Now, I may be presenting an unrealistic scenario. It's just I see that a lot. What is going on in those scenarios?
Yeah, well, I can't speak to every context, but I have seen a couple mega trends. One is the board appoints a search committee, and the search committee, you want to pick your all-star volunteers, right? You want the highest people with highest level of discernment. You want some representation of what the church is. Well, when you put that all, it's like the NBA all-star team or the Olympic all-star team, really. They've never played together. Mm-hmm. So you got a committee of people that have never worked together, and you're asking them to undertake the most important decision the church is facing. So they take a long time, partly because they have to learn how to get along.
Right.
And just gel as a committee. The second big barrier that keeps them from doing anything is a huge amount of anxiety. One of the first questions I ask when we start a search for a pastor, I say, how many of you guys in this room have hired a pastor before? And it is super rare that more than one hand goes up in the air. Mm. One guy who was on the previous committee, one time I had a guy said, I've been on 5 pastor search committees. I'm like, uh-oh. That's
not good. None of them work. Don't put him on there. Don't put him on there.
But in general, you're getting people who are being asked to functionally make the biggest decision the church has, and they've never even made that kind of decision before. They might be a great surgeon that's done 1,000 surgeries. They might be in HR and have hired a bunch, but they've never done this. And so there's a huge fear of the unknown. And that anxiety keeps them from making decisions. And it puts things off. Let's procrastinate. Let's until I feel better, right?
Right.
And then lo and behold, somebody will nominate somebody that somebody's sister's cousin knows and would be great. And all of a sudden, the anxiety drops a little, and they just hire somebody based on a one-off reference. And I mean, I see it all the time. And then the second thing, and I'll stop, after anxiety, the other big stumbling block to search committees functioning properly is pride. You know, I think my church is the best church on the planet. Mm-hmm. And every good member of a church ought to think the same thing about their church. So when you get the all-stars in the church around the table being a search committee, they probably think more highly of the church than anybody out there. So who could be good enough to come be our pastor? I mean, who could be good enough for this great church? And that pride makes people think, you know, that we need to hold out for better. Okay. Well, you should never rush into hiring. But when Jesus said the laborers are few, he wasn't kidding. I really believe there's a supply and demand issue out there. And while you shouldn't rush into getting somebody or dance with the first girl that comes along, you've got to realize as a search committee, you're not just discerning who's right. You're recruiting somebody to come to your town and your church.
Okay, very good.
So let's tie all that into the new book. You've got a new book out called Search, the Pastoral Search Committee Handbook. I've been telling everybody I know about this book recently. But the thing I like the most about the book, the first 130 pages, fantastic content. But then in the last 60, you have appendices galore here with all kind of reproducible things and just different points and different resources for churches to use. So tie what we've talked today about pastor search committees, pastor searches, and tie that into the new book and just give us a highlight of what's in these resources here in the back of the book.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I've been asked a lot, and a quote that came to me that I remembered when we started talking about promoting the book or talking about the book, you know, there's a great quote. I think it's Aristotle who said, the greater part of instruction is being reminded of the things you already know. Mm. And that's what a great sermon does a lot of times. It just reminds you of stuff you already knew. But what happens if you're asked to do a task you've never done before and you don't know anything about?
Yes.
that's welcome to the life on a pastor search committee. And everyone's trusting you and everyone's believing you, and you ought to feel the weight of a big decision on you. If you don't, then you need to pray more. What we want to do is provide a resource that will lower that anxiety. So you can be anxious about the holy task of finding the person God's called, but you don't have to be anxious about the roadmap. Mm. And it's not a cookie cutter. It's not a here's exactly what you ought to do. We found that if you know one church, then you know about one church, you know, and it doesn't replace the need for outside help or supplemental search, but it does at least give you a roadmap. And, you know, Jonathan, this sounds crazy. This is so, I don't know, it's just not very good business on our part, but 2/3 of the book is given over to content with a roadmap. Another whole third of the book is just resources, prayer guide, meeting agenda, what to do, simple, practical things. So you don't have to sit and reinvent the wheel. We hope it'll be a kind of a guidebook, if you will, you know, a cliff notes, and it doesn't reduce the very difficult task of discerning, and it doesn't, you know, eliminate the need for some help in finding people and figuring out how to interview them, particularly for your church. But we do think it'll be a low-cost resource that'll have very high value for churches that invest in it.
And we should note that while the title is the Pastoral Search Committee Handbook, this could be used for any search committee, you know, regardless of the title or the, you know, the role in the church, as well as I was reading this going, if I'm a pastor in a search process, this is extremely helpful for me. So, I mean, it's for both sides and for really any role in the church.
That's good. We hope it'll help a lot because I do see, I mean, you know, I sat down with a group of pastors, large church pastors in Southern California recently. It's about 20 of them. They get together once a year and their icebreaker is, what's the thing that's kept you up at night the most this year?
Mm-hmm.
So the first guy said, well, I underestimated how much moving the worship times was going to be a pain and cause choppy water. And that kept me up. The next 19 guys, everyone to a name, named a staffing issue.
Wow.
A person that was causing a problem, a role that needed to be filled, somebody that should have been fired but hadn't. You know, just disruption. Got back around to the first guy. And he said, can I change my answer? So I don't want to be melodramatic. I know I sound like all I've got is a hammer, so everything looks like a nail. But I really think that staff issues are the single largest impediment to the church reaching a higher redemptive potential. So if we can provide some form of solution for that, that is a big solution for the Big C Church.
That is well said. And I don't think you are overstating it, William. I think that you're right on because we hear the same things again and again. We just heard it on our coaching call. All right, before we go, I've got one question that a lot of pastors ask me, but you're the expert to answer this. Should a pastor send an unsolicited resume to a search committee?
No.
That would be my thought as well.
Here's what I've come to believe, and I believe it more now than the first time I said it 8 years ago. It's a big, big kingdom. It's a very small world.
Yes.
And what, where, you know, in the business world, you want to send your resume out, it's fine. In the business world, if you want to sit down with your board and say, let's talk about when I'm not here, that's fine. Pastors should be, even in dysfunctional churches, I think pastors are treated less like employee and more like family. Mm-hmm. And so if you're putting your resume out, it's pretty much dad sitting down at the dinner table saying, I think I might not be here forever. And so, you know, the kids go crazy thinking he's terminally ill. The mom's ready to shoot him for running off with the secretary or whoever it is. And you know, it's not too different with pastors. The church just will feel undervalued, violated. And if you're one of 300 people looking at that job and you don't get it and you got to go back, man, you can sometimes be left as a man without a country. Our office that you guys have seen before is very open concept, and then which is great for collaboration, but it's hard to have a phone conversation. So, you know, we have these phone booths we built out, and we have a software that governs, you know, you have to schedule an appointment because there are only so many of them. And in the software, the phone booths are labeled confessional booth one.
That's good. That's good.
It really is an honor. I mean, we do get to play a very sacred role in pastors who don't know what's next. And I would say, no, don't send that resume in, but contact somebody like us, somebody that you can trust.
Yes.
That will not let your name out. And if nothing else, our people advise thousands and thousands of candidates on a regular basis. We'd love to just sit down, listen to what the Lord's doing in your life, and maybe offer some advice and just see where things go.
Well, I tell you what, since you started sponsoring this podcast, I am not sure about the metrics, so I'm not going to quote some big metrics, but the audience has increased significantly. I will just say that. And one of the things that I can say, William, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I would not be in a sponsor relationship unless I believed in the organization. And there may be all kind of potential sponsors out there, but I believe in what's going on with Vander Blumen Search Group. I believe in your leadership, and I want all of our listeners to know that this is more than just a business relationship. We believe in the ministry of Vander Blumen, and we believe in your leadership. That's not only the reason we have the podcast relationship. That's the reason we publish your book, because we want the world to know we really believe in what's going on. So thank you for what you're doing for the kingdom. Thank you what you're doing for the Big C Church and all the Little C Churches as well.
Well, thank you, Tom. You are an inspiration, and your integrity and leadership in the Big C Church is it's hard to match. So hearing you say those things does my heart good. And we're glad to serve any way we can. And if there are any listeners that need us, just Google Vander Blumen. And guess what? You can misspell it 100 different ways, and it'll lead right back to us.
It is a one of a kind name, that's for sure.
All right, today's podcast is also brought to you by Midwestern Seminary, located in the heart of the Midwest. It is one of the fastest-growing seminaries in North America and offers a fantastic array of academic programs, including multiple online and residential options at the undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral levels. Midwestern's new 81-hour MDiv program, online program, and doctoral program have all been recognized as some of the most innovative and affordable in the country. There's never been a better time to begin your seminary education. Midwestern Seminary trains leaders for the church. Visit them online at mbts.edu/Rainer and start your ministry training today. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
All right, I want to give away several books. What's our best mechanism?
Just leave a comment on the post there.
And we'll give away 10 of them.
First 10 people?
First 10. Well, let's pick them. Let's do it. Let's get that random generator going. And we'll give away 10 of the books, incredible book called Search by William Vander Blumen.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. We'll do it.
Great new book here. And also, we want to remind you to be sure to catch William's podcast, the Vander Blumen Leadership Podcast, also known as the Vandercast. You can find that on iTunes as well. Check out iTunes, subscribe to Rainer on Leadership, leave us a rating and review over there, and join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.